بسم الله توكلت على الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear wonderful listeners, I do hope that you are all well and keeping safe on this blessed Monday afternoon. You are with me, Khadija Mohammed, as your host on Let's Talk Life. On today's program, we have a great lineup just for you, and the most amazing topic that we have in the first half of the program. I think every one of us as mothers can, or as parents, can actually kind of resonate with our topic for today. And we are talking about how parental favoritism plays a role in a child's upbringing. Now, grab your cup of tea and your little biscuit to dip in there, because we've got a great guest with us this afternoon and some great content on how you as a parent can actually pick up on this kind of issue if you're having it with your child, and how actually parental favoritism, how does it play a role in your child's upbringing. So with keeping that in mind, I'm going to welcome our guest for this afternoon, and she is Sister Susan Gregor Harlan, who is a family and parenting coach. Sister Susan, welcome to Let's Talk Life.
Thank you very much for having me. It's lovely to be with you.
Thank you so much for accepting to be our guest this afternoon. Now, Sister Susan, before we get into all the questions that I'm going to ask you, can you tell us a little bit about your family and parenting coach? What is your expertise? What are your expertise?
Okay, well, in a nutshell, just to put it out there, I parental coach, basically, I coach parents how to be the best parents they can be for their child in this moment. My background is completely in education. I'm a single mom of two amazing children myself. And I've been in the education profession for 22 years.
Oh, lovely.
So, children are my passion. I'm also a qualified remedial teacher, besides just normal teacher. I've taught preschool, foundation series, I've taught here, I've taught overseas. So my life encompasses children and families. My thing is much 24 hours a day, family and children.
Great. It's really a pleasure to have you on our show for this particular topic. Now, just for a little, just to get our listeners into what is the topic today, we are talking about parental favoritism, and it is just what it sounds like. It's when one child is given preference over their siblings. And in order to qualify, this has to be something that is consistent. While many parents are often quick to declare that they don't have a favorite, a number of kids and even adult siblings, we may beg to differ. In fact, the effect parental favoritism can have on kids, whether real or perceived, is a topic that has been of growing concern. So I think it's a great topic to actually touch on today. Sister Susan, can you maybe define parental favoritism for us?
Okay, so parental favoritism is, as you said, when one or both parents favor one sibling over another. And they do this by the way they behave towards the child, what they give the child. But there's a defining, there's a clear view of from the other sibling who's not favorited, that their sibling is a favorite. And it sometimes it does happen naturally in a family as well. So we mustn't confuse when it happens naturally and when it is done deliberately.
Okay. I think that's where we all just tend to get a bit confused, is because it does happen naturally. And we as parents, we don't seem to, we don't realize it until it's too late that we actually have touched on a favorite, or we have said something that has proven that we have parental favoritism. But I think it's quite normal for us to assume that we're not doing anything wrong, right?
And we might very well not be doing anything wrong. As you say, there's a lot of perceptions, and sometimes children within a family create their own perceptions that their sibling is being favoritized. And that's just because that could come about because one is younger than the other, so they see their older child being able to stay up later, or you know, go to a party that they can't go to, and they perceive it as favoritism, but in actual case it's not, because their turn will come when they can go out.
Yeah, I think I think it happens in a lot of homes like that. I know with my one as well. He would always, he's a 13-year-old now, and he would always tell me that, but you allow the bigger ones to do it, so why is it not okay for me to do it? Not realizing that when they were his age, it was also not accepted, or it was also not something that they could have just done like that, you know. So yeah, like you said, it is probably the way that the kids perceive it. But what are the signs maybe that we are doing this, or what are the signs of parental favoritism?
Well, what happens is that, for instance, a child who's favorite child, they get to have a lot more, they get to be able to do a lot more things than the other. And when the other one tries to do the same, even if they were at that appropriate age, they get told no. There's a lot more praise offered to the child that is favorite. For every accomplishment they get, it's recognized, a fuss is made about it. And the child who isn't a favorite, not much fuss is made.
Yeah.
There's always an excuse why they got that award, or why they did so well, or they never are honored in the same way that a favorite child is honored.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is the favorite child then starts to behave in a very entitled way. And then this is often where the problem starts with a child who isn't favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they see an entitled child living in the house, and they don't get the same entitlement.
Yes.
And they get a lot they get a lot of the negative attention, and the favorite child gets a lot of the positive attention.
Okay. Yeah, and when you actually realize that that is really what is going on, it makes so much sense now that, yeah, we are probably doing it without realizing that we are harming or damaging the other child. Let's talk a little bit about, maybe from the perspective of the child itself. How does one, as a child, deal with one's parent having a favorite?
You know, it often happens, it'll start early on. You know, if it's an only child, obviously then they only have one favorite. But the moment the youngest one arrives, or the child who isn't favored, feels it, they voice it. They actually voice it to their parents. But what happens is the parents shut it down continuously. Instead of taking note and then looking at their behavior as a parent and going, oh, actually you're right, I am doing this. Mm-hmm. Or they, you know, they hear what the child says and they shut it down, and they don't say, well, actually you're perceiving that, and your perception is wrong because your brother is 15 and that's why he's going out, and you're only 9 and that's why you're not.
Mm-hmm.
They brush it over and they just say that the child's talking. They don't take cognizance of what the child is actually. So when children are little, they do actually voice it to their parents, voice it to an adult in the family, or they will voice it to their sibling when they're in a fight. Oh, mom and dad love you more than they love me.
Yeah.
And it's our job as parents to be aware of that and be listening to those conversations.
I think that is definitely important. And that actually leads to my next question is, what happens to these kids, their well-being, particularly these kids that feel that they are not the favorites? What happens to these kids when parents play favorites?
The damage is long-lasting. I mean, you can speak to many an adult who has siblings, and they will say, oh, I was never the favorite, or I was the black sheep. And it can do a whole variety of mental issues, one of the biggest ones being very poor self-esteem.
Right.
They just feel they're never good enough. They're always trying to achieve, to be noticed. And then sometimes what happens is they become involved, let's say in high school, in the wrong crowds, because they so want to be noticed and acknowledged.
They want to be accepted,
And be accepted, absolutely. They look for relationships where they're constantly seeking approval. And it's really because their self-esteem is not intact.
Mm-hmm.
So there are long-lasting consequences for parental favoritism. And it damages families, you know, it damages the relationship between siblings who should be there for each other. You know, you have siblings who don't want to speak to their siblings because what's the use?
And this could go on for years, right? I mean,
for years. I mean, I've spoken to some grandparents who still feel that, and their siblings are still fun.
No, it really makes sense. It actually can go on for years, and somehow it always boils down to that. Yeah, I was never accepted, and you never treated me like you treated the others. And no, it does. It does definitely go on for years. But what can parents do, Sister Susan, to make sure that their kids feel included? Are there any ways of making it lighter for those kids, or how can they make the kids feel included?
Absolutely. The first thing is you have to be aware of your children. You have to be aware of yourself as a parent. So I'm a parent of two. I've got a boy and a girl. So they immediately already have sibling rivalry.
Yes, natural.
Yes. So I have to be very conscious of the fact, because often a mother is a lot more lenient to a son, and a father is a lot more lenient to a daughter.
Yes, that's it.
So I have to, you know, and also you're a lot more lenient on the youngest than the eldest.
Yes.
Because you expect your eldest to be responsible and to take care of the little one.
Yes, that's good.
So it's being mindful of that in yourself as a parent before you even address the child. Mm. Because the moment you're aware of that, you can then change it. And when you change it, you know, the basis of all families is you need to have non-negotiable boundaries.
Yes.
Things that apply to everyone in the home, whether it's boy, girl, mom, dad, friends who come into the home, because children look for a sense of fairness. Everything has to be fair.
Yes.
But unfortunately in life, not everything is fair. So we also need to teach our children that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to start at the base of non-negotiable boundaries. So bedtime at this age is this time. Regardless. So when your first child, you know, gets to the age of 15, they can stay up till 9.
Yes.
And your youngest is made aware that that is something they can look forward to. It's not just because you're favoriting that child. It's because that is what happens when you're 15.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's no question. And then your negotiable boundaries are where you teach the children, you know, things are not always fair, or you play to their strengths. So that's one thing a family definitely needs to have. They need to have a base that they can be really true for.
Mm-hmm. I think that is vitally important, yes.
And then the next thing is you need to understand that, and the non-negotiables also work, you know, apply to the different personalities, because not all children have the same personality.
Yeah. Funny enough, how they're all so different, and you're one person, you're one mother, or you're one father, and you have to deal with all these personalities. It's crazy.
While still trying to deal with your spouse's personality.
Yeah. Imagine that.
So the thing is also then is to face, you know, to allow them, because you don't want each child to be the same. They must be their own person. They must be rewarded and appraised for being their own person. But then what you do need to do is you need to know your child's love language. The love language is a well-known thing. Because that's where misconceptions come to the fore. So my son, for instance, one of his love languages is tokens. Mm. My daughter couldn't care.
Yeah.
You know, so hers is more acts of service.
Okay.
So if I know my child's love language, by knowing your child's love language, you're filling their tank.
Mm-hmm.
And if a child's tank feels full, even if our tanks feel full, you know, we're content. Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't matter that my sister's getting, you know, mom's making her a sandwich because, mom put a note of I love you, my boy, in my lunchbox. Mm-hmm. I already feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's to encourage the siblings to praise each other and to be proud of each other. Because that's also the case when a child is favored, when one child is favored over another. The parents don't encourage sibling relationships. If anything, they don't want, you know, the favorite child to praise the other one at all.
Yeah.
And so that's where you also need to, you know, make sure that siblings say well done when their brother or sister has done well, or you know, help each other, and that's their routine.
Mm.
Yeah, that's their routines and chores coming. That we, as a family, all working together, and we all have our roles, and we all have our parts, and we all need it here.
Mm-hmm. Important to know your child's love language. I think it starts there, that we need to learn each child and dissect each child as a parent and learn our kids' love language.
Absolutely. And you know, we love from our love language.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm one for, you know, quality time, that's how I perceive love. So I think that's what people need. So if I have a child whose love language is the same, we're automatically going to connect because we're loving the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll think, oh, this child is so easy. They just get it. There's never a quabble.
Yeah.
Never a problem.
I wish it was easy.
Whereas the child whose maybe love language is not the same as mine, we have then a break in our tank for not being filled by each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's the parent's role to learn what their child's love language is and to play to that.
No, I think that's definitely very important. And in that way, you learn how to actually, like you said, each child is different. It's amazing how different they are. And in this way, as a parent, you are able to even split yourself up in the ways that are needed and in the healthy ways that are needed for your kids. So I think it's important. I think you hit the nail on the head there when you said love languages, because I agree with that as well. You know, with my kids, I have four, and I see that each one of them are completely different. No, it's chaos. I'm telling you, sometimes we don't know actually how to go about doing it. And like you said, you parent from your own love language, and I'm a type of person. I'm acts of service. That's my love language, and one of my kids is physical touch. He likes me to hug him, and he's very, very, you know, just wants to hug all the time, and he wants to hold you, and he wants you to sit with him, and I cannot just do that to save
you
my life. Yeah, you know, it becomes so daunting for me to do that, but I've learned to actually just hold just have this face where I don't have to show them how I'm feeling, and just give the hug when it's needed, or give the peck on the cheek when it's needed, so that they feel secure and they feel comforted, you know. But we got to do things.
we do things. And the thing is, if you use someone else's love language, it eventually does become yours. Because often our spouse's love language is not the same as ours, but over time, it becomes our second love language.
Yeah, that's true. I cannot believe how our time has actually run. It's just flown by. I think we were getting so great into this conversation, and now I think we're reaching the end of our program. Any final words for our listeners, our parents out there, our kids that are listening in on what they can do to keep their relationships healthy and how to handle parental favoritism?
You know, I think we always have to just keep lines of communication open. And children need to be able to feel safe that they can come to their parents and say, I'm feeling unloved, or I feel like you love my brother more than me. And I think as parents, we have to not take it as a personal attack on us. And sometimes we do. Because we feel like they're pointing out that we're failing as a parent.
Yes.
And so we get quite defensive. So I always say to parents, first of all, breathe, take a deep breath, blow your candles out, you know, and then just to try and think, okay, how would I feel, or how did I feel in my family, if I felt that I was being the odd one out, and adjust myself accordingly. Because it could just be a fleeting moment. It could just be because they're upset because they can't go to bed black. You know, they can't stay up later. Mm-hmm. But listen to your children. Hear them. Watch their body language. And be aware of when they're talking to you. It's just really having your ears and eyes on the ground.
That's it. Just being aware.
Just being aware of yourself and your children.
Lovely. Well, thank you, Sister Susan. We have actually reached the end of this segment for the show. It was great having you on, and you have shared with us such valuable information, especially as parents. We're always learning. You know, I don't think there's a parent that can say that they're doing it perfectly and they know enough. So it's great to know that all these kind of things matter, and how we should actually take in this information and play it in our lives on a daily basis. And hopefully that should change and should create a better, not maybe change, but maybe start changing and creating a better relationship with parents and kids and with kids and their siblings. Absolutely. So thank you so much for that. I think this was a great topic and it was a much needed topic. And your information that you shared with us today is greatly valued.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I love being on your show.
It was a pleasure. We look forward to having you back on again.
Thanks a lot.
Do stay safe. Well, there you have it, my dear listeners. That was Sister Susan, who spoke to us about parental favoritism. And she shared some great tips with us on how to actually learn our kids, you know, love languages. I think that's a very important point that she made, as well as how we as parents can become more aware of our kids' needs. And with that, I hope that you have taken some great food for thought on this part of the show. We are going on to a short ad break now, and when we get back, we will continue with some great content. Please do stay with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to this week's episode of Let's Talk Life. I am your host, Khadija Mohammed, and I will be taking you through the second half of our show on this very beautiful afternoon. With us, you know, we've had all these serious topics and all these informative topics and content on the show. But today, for this part of the program today, we have something that it's a little bit more lighthearted. And I think a lot of you, and I think most of you, will enjoy listening to this part of the program as we're all getting ready, inshallah, for this week's Black Friday specials. Now, this Friday is the type of sale event that we all look forward to annually. From September, you know, if we really want to buy anything big or any kind of appliances for our home, I'm sure some of you would hear or say, we will just wait for the Black Friday specials, which is quite a popular saying at the moment for the last few years. But is this a safe option for our pockets when you haven't saved in advance or when you have just saved just about enough? So on this week's program of Let's Talk Life, on this segment, we're going to talk you through Black Friday, what to look out for, what you should be spending on, and how to deal with it as a shopaholic, and so much more. And to help us answer some burning Black Friday questions, we have Niche Market co-founder and shopaholic Shamima Ahmed, who is going to take us through some Black Friday hints and tips. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Shamima, and welcome to Let's Talk Life.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran so much for having me here.
It's only a pleasure, and I'm sure everybody is now glued to their radios and listening very intensely as to what you're going to tell us about this Black Friday. You know, it's become such quite a hype over the last few years, right?
Yeah.
Sister Shamima, tell us, why is Black Friday different this particular year?
Well, I think it's probably because of the elephant in the room. You know, it's been living through a pandemic right now, and that has not gone away. And even though this is a light-hearted topic, we mustn't forget that a lot of businesses have closed down over the past 2 years, you know. So if I go through the list and compare it to last year's list, we'll see there's like a number of shops who've dropped off, whose sites aren't working anymore, who've actually completely closed down. And also the safety regulations. So stores can't handle the same amount of people shopping at the same time. So, you know, there's safety precautions to uphold as well. So that's very different. And because of that, we actually see a trend of people promoting Black November, not just Black Friday.
I see that very much so this year in particular, yeah.
So most of the big retailers have been their sales are already going since the beginning of the month. Like, you know, the Takealots and the Macros and the Games, all of them, they're all running since the beginning of the month already. And a lot of people are doing a week before Black Friday and spanning the sales, basically running until the end of November.
Yeah, I see. I actually noticed that this month that the Black Friday sales have started already in the beginning of the year. And like you said, it's a new saying now called the Black November sale. So, yeah, maybe it will be something different. Now, by next year, we'll be probably having a whole month of sale, which might not be a bad idea. But, you know, can we truly really save on Black Friday? And what type of savings are we actually talking about, Sister Shamima?
Look, I think it's ultimately up to you. If you're just looking to spend money, then you and spend money on anything and everything, then you're not going to save. But if you're smart about your shopping and you're waiting for that good deal to buy only what you need, then yes, you can possibly save. Anything from about like 20% to 50%, I don't think we'll see as much as 70% this year. People aren't knocking things as much down this year, but definitely you can save up to 50%, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And on your list of things, what would you, as a consumer, what are the three top items that one should look out for, in particular for Black Friday? I mean, what would actually be a wise buy?
So, you know, if you look at your technology products, your computers, laptops, tablets, smartwatches, those things, you're definitely going to find good deals, even gaming consoles. So a lot of the tech stuff, great deals out there, gaming consoles, video games, small appliances and big appliances. So I mean, everybody's looking for Instapot and an air fryer. You know, great deals on those. You're definitely going to find a good deal on those. And then it's hard to pick just three, so I'm going to say four, like sneakers and footwear. We see big discounts on sneakers and footwear, so if you're looking for good deals on that. And then beauty products and makeup, really good deals on that as well. All the beauty houses, and they have really, really good deals. So if you know, a lot of us ladies like to look good. So if you're looking to stock up for the rest of the year, you can get a good deal on that.
This is your time. But I've also noticed, you know, I asked you, like, what would probably be the three most perfect items that you could purchase over Black Friday. But like you were saying, the Black November sales, I've noticed that relatively over the last few weeks or the few days, I think the stores have given every sort of department a chance to be on sale. I don't know if you've noticed that. So I think it's just timing at the moment with it being over the month. I think it's just like time it, and that's what's going to happen. I think we're going to have to start preparing ourselves now, if this is going to stay on for years to come, to actually like time the sale, or time what you are looking for, and know exactly when those stores or department stores are actually going to have them on sale. Because I've noticed that it's not just particular items, it's kind of all items, but at separate, at different times.
Definitely, so, yes. Yeah.
So that is what's going down. But let's go on to the burning question, Sister Shamima. How do you go about Black Friday as what we all are, shopaholics?
So for me, the best tips I can give you is shop around before the time. So what I've done already is I've added things that I know that I've wanted. I've added them to my cart in certain stores online or my wish list. I really know what they priced at. So you must be really careful here, because sometimes the guys are sneaky and they increase the prices when it comes to this time of the year, and then they knock it off and say it's 50% discount. But then I know like 2 months ago it was less than that, you know. So I start adding them to my wish list and my cart, and I note the prices. And as soon as they sort of go on sale, then you'll get a notification in your email inbox, and you can check, you know, is it a good deal? Is it what I'm looking for? And you can also compare it across different sites. So if you are looking, for example, let's go back to the air fryer example. You can, you know, create your account on different sites like Macro Game, Takealot, and add them to your cards, and then when it comes to the big week, you can just kind of check. Who's got the best deal for you?
Some great advice. I think I'm already guilty of that. The shopping carts are quite full on my side. I've been trying to do a lot of Black Friday shopping from last week already. So I have a few stores that I have my shopping cart quite backed up already. So, Sister Shamima, what would be a better option? You know, would it be better to shop maybe online or to go in store?
Look, it really just depends on you, like what type of shopper you are. Obviously, if you want to be safe and you still stay, I mean, we don't know if there's going to be probably a third wave coming. Or fourth wave, rather. And, you know, so if you want to be safe and you want to have that peace of mind and you want to be relaxed and you don't want to you know, have to deal with the rush of driving in somewhere and whatever, do it at home, you know. Most of the stores have an online interface. They have apps. They have e-commerce websites. It's easy. It checks out. Returning is a non-issue. If you are not happy with your products, for example, if you're buying clothing and it doesn't fit or shoes or something like that. But if you are someone that, you know, you like the physical touch and you want to see with your eyes and stuff like that, then go into the store and check it out. But, you know, I'd advise you to do it online. It's just the way.
Yeah, well, you know, certain things, like myself in particular, I would go into the store for a certain type of things because, you know, we somehow, especially if we're spending a lot of money and it isn't really a major bargain, then you would want to see the quality of the product, especially clothing-wise. And even as far as maybe like shoes and stuff are concerned, you'd want to go in and fit it on and see how it looks around because it becomes even sometimes a bigger slap to get it to you and then have it returned again and get a better size or get a bigger size or smaller size. But it just depends, like you said, on what kind of a shopper you are. Although online shopping is the best way and the most recommended way of shopping. So, yeah, I think that would be an option, especially now, you know, I mean, to avoid the crowds and all those kind of things. So maybe online shopping should be the way to go. But Sister Shabima, can you give us some final words or some form of advice for our listeners on how to shop wise or how to just to go about their Black Friday shopping?
Yeah, I'd say, look, don't go overboard. Really, like, check your list, buy what you need, and only if you know it's a good deal. You know, that these sales come around every season, you know, so don't fall for the marketing trick all the time. Yeah. Right? It is just a sale. Every season we have a big sale.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the money right now to buy everything you want, buy what you need, and next sale season you can tackle that again, you know. You know, don't put yourself in debt just because you think this is the best deal you're going to get.
Yeah.
It's not the best deal you're going to get. There will be another good deal coming up.
Well, it most definitely, I'm sure you'd agree with me, Sister Shamima, this has been the greatest marketing strategy that they could have come up with.
And,
and especially now, hey, because now everybody is just trying to save a penny here and there, and also with the online shopping, I think it really has taken off by storm. So, yeah, well, let's hope everybody enjoys this few days of their Black Friday shopping. I do thank you, Sister Shamima. We have reached the end of this segment of our show and end of the program for today. It has been a pleasure. I mean, it was a really lighthearted and lovely topic to get into about Black Friday shopping. I think everybody needed a little bit of that to let go and just think about not be so cooped up with all these serious topics. So it was great to have you on our show this afternoon. Thank you so much for all your advice.
You're very welcome. And I also just want to add a disclaimer. I don't want anybody's husbands to contact me and tell them I encourage their wives.
You're the guilty one. I won't be giving away any numbers. Don't worry, any information. And we'll just alert the station as well not to be sending out any form of details as yet. All right? But thank you so much for that. Do stay safe and be blessed.
Thank you so much for having me.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum
salam. Well, there you have it, my dear listeners. And that was Sister Shamima Ahmed, who was taking us through giving us some tips and advice on our Black Friday shopping, which, you know, we are going to have Black Friday this Friday, but we have been experiencing all these Black Friday sales from the beginning of the month. And like she said, you know, be wise and just watch how you're shopping. Don't go overboard. Don't get too carried away and just go frantic with your shopping. I mean, you know, we all want to save a penny or two. We do know that. But wasting is also, you know, let's try and cut down. If you don't need it, then just try and avoid buying it. And rather, like Sister Shamima had advised us, is to buy those particular things that you would really need or that you really are saving up for is, you know, it seasonal sales are always there. So the sales, it's not like it's going to only be on this particular Friday or only this for this month. We will encounter Christmas sales and so on and so forth. So just be wise and shop the right thing and shop what you really need and do stay safe and do take care of yourselves. If you are going out into the malls, keep a lookout for whoever it is that you are going out with. Keep in distance with everyone and also follow the protocols of COVID, inshallah. It was great having Sister Shamima on our program today. I hope my listeners have enjoyed this part of the segment. And we do look forward to being on the show again with you next week, same time, same place. Do stay safe and take care, inshallah. We will be back with Let's Talk Live next week, Monday, inshallah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.